This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation, welcome. This week in the NFL, I'm your host, Cowboy, joined as always by my main guy, John D'Amato. How you doing, John?
Beautiful, the Cowboy. Happy anniversary. It seems like every week I'm always wishing you a happy anniversary. It's a birthday. You're always celebrating something.
Me, yeah. You know? Yes, 8 years of marital bliss with the beautiful cowgirl, Katie.
Yes. Lovely missus. You're blessed.
Eight down, hopefully another 40 or so to go. That's what we're banking on.
You're on the way. God
we're
bless.
We're trying. But yeah, everything's good. So week 7, pretty good week. We got week 8 coming up, and John and I are gonna dive right in here. You good with that, John?
Oh yeah, we got a lot of games. Your favorite quote, the piss break games. We got a lot of those. So
it's a piss break week.
Yeah,
the whole week's a bit of a piss break.
Yeah, especially the last night and Monday night. It's a good night to, you know, with Halloween coming up. If you guys out there have significant others, take your lady to maybe a Monday night dinner or something.
Scary movie.
Yeah,
scary movie.
Because after ignoring her all day Sunday, maybe you could make it up to a Monday. You could skip that Dolphin Steelers shit fist.
Hey, any game where the Steelers led by Mason Rudolph are favored by, what are they favored by, 14 or something like that? You know, that's a piss break special right there.
You never know. Fitz may give a surprise. Man.
So Viking Skins last night. So we're recording on Friday afternoon here. Viking Skins last night. The Vikings continue their winning ways with a field goal. They dominated the game, but only won 19-9.
A lot of field goals.
That'll come back to bite them if they keep that up, but... The Redskins, especially once Case Keenum left with the concussion, the Redskins were incapable of really moving the ball with Haskins.
That was Zimmer's wet dream game. That's a perfect game that he likes to coach. A lot of Dalvin Cook, low-impact passes. Don't give Cousins too much responsibility. That's how Zimmer wants to win every game. Without Thielen, they kind of dialed it down. Yeah, you saw, not to gloat because the Giants got their own problems with the quarterback, but everybody wanted to pick Haskins. You saw that it was still a game, a 7-point game, and a guy wide open over the middle. He sailed one 20 yards over his head, easy interception, and that was pretty much that.
You never know with the young quarterbacks, right? I mean, he certainly looks like he's not ready to be in games right now. So that was a terrible play. Yeah, you had Terry McLaurin wide open over the middle, and... You know, to your point, threw it 3 feet over his head for an interception. But it is what it is, and probably the less we talk about that game, the better.
Moving on, yes, sir.
All right, so we got some interesting matchups this week. Not a ton, of course. What's your game of the week, John?
Definitely Panthers, Niners.
I agree. And who would have thought, after week two, that the Panthers would be involved in our game of the week? So you would have thought.
So.
Oh, you know, I was floundering. I was ready to pack in on the prediction. Say you guys got me, but I think I remember during week 3 I said I'm going to give him one more chance. Picked him to win that game, and the rest is history. They could go 14-2. They're a runaway train, John. A runaway train. Tough game for the Panthers this week, going to San Francisco, the undefeated 49ers, the story of the NFC. How do you see this one? How do you see this one going, John? Kind of, what do you think the key matchups are? What do you think is going to decide the game? Then I'll give you my take.
Well, I see the Panthers are rested coming off the bye week, a successful London trip, and the 49ers, they've been squeaking it out. Even although it was rainy versus the Redskins. And they could have lost that Steeler game. I'm thinking that any week now, the 49ers got to get clipped. They're impressed me more than I thought. They're looking at a 12-4, 13-3 season. But to be undefeated. They got to get clipped sooner or later. Jimmy G, it's just a hunch here. Jimmy G's been throwing about that bad pick game. He's still a little loose with the turnovers. And although the 49ers' strength is that ground game, and that's where they could gash the Panthers. The Panthers' defense has been stout, but they have given up some stuff against the run. But if Cam came back, I would really be high on the Panthers. But I'm still going to go with the upset here. I'm going to go with the Panthers to put the first one on the Niners.
All right. You'll probably be not surprised to hear that I'm with you on that one, John. Really like Carolina in this game. Yes, they are not great against the run, but the way Garoppolo... The 49ers have a very good defense and a very good running game, but it's been a little bit, and I think you alluded to this a little bit, it's been a little bit smoke and mirrors. It's not this that they've been this like dominant, undefeated team. You know, they've had, you know, the Rams game was probably, that was obvious, it was their best performance, right? So their defense was dominant in that game. But
no, Cleveland, they smoked Cleveland.
They smoked Cleveland.
That was impressive. I'll give them that. I give them credit.
They're a good team. I think Carolina is going to sell out to stop the run. And I think if they're successful and they can, I think they're going to really try to dare Garoppolo to beat them. And I do like the pickup the Niners made. They were really hurting at receiver, Emmanuel Sanders. Emmanuel Sanders is a good player. But with less than a week on the team, it's tough to see him making a huge impact in this one. Like, there's pretty much probably no way, right, he's going to play, like, a full complement of snaps or anything. And I like I like Carolina to – I think it'll be a little more high-scoring than maybe others. Like, I know some folks are seeing, you know, like a 14-10 kind of game. I think both teams probably get into the 20s, and Carolina squeaks one out based on better personnel and an opportunistic defense that's going to turn Garoppolo over, whereas Kyle Allen is a lot of things. He doesn't turn it over too much, and I think that'll continue. So I think Carolina in a mild upset as well, John.
Yeah, but it's definitely going to be a good early season, maybe playoff preview.
It's a razor-thin kind of game. Could really go either way. So, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, John. All right. So that's really the highlight of the week right there. You do have some other interesting matchups.
Packers, Chiefs.
Just some of those.
Even with the Mahomes injury, I still think it's going to be a good game. I don't see the – man, can you picture the Chiefs losing three in a row at home?
I mean,
well, now you can picture it, but if somebody told you before the season, and two of the games would be with Mahomes, that would be
right.
That would be hard to swallow.
Oh, agreed. But I don't think Matt Moore is any good, John. I'm just gonna come out and say it.
Yeah, but Andy Reid's gonna have some tricks up his sleeve. Yeah,
he'll scheme. He can do. He's got the horses and the speed to make the game more of a side-to-side thing instead of a vertical down-the-field thing like they do with Mahomes. So you got Hardman and Hill and McCoy and Damian Williams and guys that you can get the ball to at or around the line of scrimmage and let them do some work after the catch. So I think you'll see some of that. The problem is the Chiefs' defense isn't any good. And the Green Bay, you know, they've played very well. Rodgers is really dialed in. Their offense looks good. I mean, their running game's good. Like, I find it difficult to see Kansas City stopping them too much. So KC's going to need, like, probably like a 28 to 31 point performance from Matt Moore to have a chance. I just don't think he's got that in him. Especially the Packers D is great, good but not great, but I think good enough to win this game.
Yeah, so Kansas City is coming off a stunning defensive performance, but that was versus the meek Broncos and Flacco.
Completely sucks.
It's a slightly step up in competition this week.
That wasn't versus the Chiefs' defense doing anything great. He's awful.
Yeah, you say you give them no credit whatsoever. even though they
little.
Had.
I mean, you watch the game.
They had 9 sacks, so you got to give him a little something.
He's a tackling dummy back there. Talk. I mean, it makes.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm not a big fan of his. I don't know why Elway is thinking there, but because Denver's actually got like a decent team other than him. But.
Yeah, that's a big where the quarterback is not even ready to play the one they drafted. Yeah, that's a sad state of affairs.
He must be awful if they're I mean, think of how bad that guy's gonna be if you're in practice every day and you're saying, okay, we have to stay with Flacco.
When you see guys like Allen and Minshew coming off low round and undrafted free agents coming off the Mets, even last year on the 49ers, the kid Mullins
Nick
came
Mullins,
in and played.
Bethard was fine too for them.
Yes, you see guys from other teams can step in, but with the Broncos, that's a black hole of quarterbacks, and their GM is a Hall of Fame quarterback.
So I mean, like if you're the Broncos. And I'm not a huge like Ryan Tannehill guy. I think I don't think he's very good. But I mean, he's very clearly like better than a guy like Joe Flacco, right? And he was just as available in the offseason. What are you doing? Tyrod Taylor, we talked about too.
Yeah.
I mean, Flacco's been washed up for 3 years.
Yeah.
He's awful. He's awful, and he is directly costing that team wins. Anyway, Aaron Rodgers is better than him. That's the moral of the story.
Let's not say much.
So the KC defense probably isn't going to get the 9 sacks this week.
Still, I'm confident just because it's going to be they're not going to roll over and then lose their third in a row at home so easy. But they will still lose it. I think it'll be competitive, but.
It's just a tough matchup.
Especially all Rodgers and coach are lovey-dovey after the first couple of weeks. It looked like he wasn't into it, and now they're all hugging and high-fiving. They seem to have the mojo with the offense.
With the way the Chiefs' defense is, it's like a bad matchup, right? Because Green Bay's got a really good offense. I mean, there are plenty of good teams that don't have these high-powered offenses where I might actually pick the Chiefs if they were playing – maybe the Niners or maybe the Colts or something like that. But, I mean, Green Bay's going to score points on their defense, and Matt Moore is probably not capable of scoring a ton of points. And the way they've used their running backs this year, you can't picture him going to this grind-it-out strategy, which is really probably their best chance to win.
Yeah, that's Shady has a vintage game, but he's only averaging about less than 10 carries a game. So
yeah, I mean, they throw.
They would have to double his workload, yeah.
But, hey, so we're in agreement on two of those there, John. So we got to find one that we're
How about Browns and Patriots? I think the Patriots are undefeated. This season is in jeopardy here.
Come on. All right, yeah, let's talk about that. I thought that I was going to call this one a piss break game, but we can get into this. So you got the Browns coming off a bye, right? That's your that's part of it, I'm assuming. That's about all I got. That's about all I got for things favoring the Browns in this game. What are you thinking?
I can't be. I would give them a fighting chance, but I saw that Myles Garrett is kind of banged up. That would be the only way if Myles Garrett blows up, because the Pets do they're starting a left tackle Marshall Newhouse, and I know he was a bum with the Giants for a couple of years. So, but your coach Scarnecchia makes magic. He turns bums into friggin' all pros. Yeah. So
they get a quarterback that gets the ball out pretty quick too.
Too. They get but still, even versus Jets, you saw that he was pressured.
Yeah, he took some hits.
Yeah,
you can run on Cleveland, so. You know, the Pats are very, like, a game plan specific team for, you know, they really plan for the team they're playing. And you don't see the same offense twice. So I think it'll probably be a big, like, Sony Michel, James White game. Especially, it looks like Greedy Williams and Denzel Ward are coming back for Cleveland. Two, obviously, good cornerbacks. So I think you're going to see a kind of a James White game. Edelman working the middle a little bit, and then pounding it with the running backs. What I mean, what the Patriots do offensively, I don't think matters that much because Baker Mayfield might throw eight interceptions in this game.
And the big question is, will the Browns star wide receiver, will he switch jerseys at halftime because he's been sucking up to the Patriots all week? he might as well. You know how they after the game they exchange jerseys and all that? He might even do that at halftime. And
so you think he already did it?
Exchange Brady's jersey, yeah, the way he's kissing up to them.
It's tough. I mean, Gilmore's going to follow him around. And, I mean, Beckham, you know, as much of a, you know, there's some things that are negative about him. But yeah, I mean, he's a great player, generally.
Well, it depends on what you call a great player. I mean, sure, he's a big home run hitter, but you watch these tough wide receivers every week, like Julio Jones, Michael Thomas, the way that they catch those tough plays over the middle.
It's not Odell's game.
Thank you. When do you see him catch and take a lick over the middle for a big first down on a third and six?
Yeah, it's just not his thing. But yeah. Gilmore's been phenomenal this year. Obviously, I mean it's kind of a big story in the league.
Yeah, and a great pickup, Sanu for a second rounder. Just another guy from Rutgers. It's unbelievable. The worst Division I football team. In NCAA, yielding all these pros that you know that are Super Bowl champions, like the McCourty twins and
Rutgers, baby. It is a bit of, you know, the Sanu pickup, and you know, it's a little bittersweet because the Patriots did, you know, effectively release
Josh Gordon,
who's a personal favorite of mine. You know, love the kid. I think he's a very good player.
Is something going on behind the scenes there, or
I don't want to speculate on that. I mean, I don't. They put him on IR, They put him on IR, even though he's probably only going to be hurt for a couple of weeks. And the speculation is that he'll be once he's healthy, he'll be released from IR, which he then goes through the waivers process. So he'll probably catch on somewhere
with the non-playoff team. Yeah, they want to make sure that a non-playoff team and.
What facilitated that? I don't know, because they do have a need at receiver. I mean, he doesn't play special teams, right? Like the other guys do. So it's really, I guess, it kind of came down to him or Olszewski, because, I mean, Dorsett, you're not going to release. Edelman, obviously, Sanu, Olszewski, and then Jacoby Myers is a good looking young kid that they wouldn't let go of. So it's like Olszewski plays special teams and Josh doesn't. I think it might be as easy as that. It might be as simple as that. And I suppose they by putting him on the IR, if in the event, I guess, you know, he can't come back, he would be done for the year. So they said by putting him on the IR, it would prevent him from signing like with whoever he wanted to. So with one of their competitors, because he has to go through waivers, so it starts out with like the worst team getting first shot at him.
Yeah, an interesting week in New England. They traded a Bennett to the Cowboys.
That's fine.
He cursed out a coach.
They don't put up with that. Gordon, I mean, thing with Gordon, I mean, he never did anything like that. I mean, he's, you know, obviously got his issues, but he was a model citizen. Everybody liked him. I think he still produced on the field, a real physical specimen, and just, you know, it's a good story. I just hope the guy's all right. You know, that's really obviously when you see something like that, you think, you know, kind of because of his history, your mind will go to places that, you know, things that could have facilitated that. So yeah, just hope the guy's okay.
Yeah, but for your 4 o'clock game, yeah, I don't see him. I was just being facetious. I don't see the Browns. That'll be the only way if Myles Garrett could take over that game.
I mean, the Browns would have to win the game like 13-10 or something. I mean, the way Mayfield has played, and I do like him long term, but the way he's played this year, I mean, he's been a turnover waiting to happen. And I mean, you saw what the Patriots did to Darnold last week. I mean, he was really terrible.
But similar to the Jets, the Browns have a joke of a schedule. So both those teams, the Browns and the Jets, still may be able to get to 7-8 games and be in the hunt for a wild card in the last couple of weeks, because that 7-8 could even turn to 9-10. But they don't have any margin for error with all these early losses and these tough games early.
Yeah, we've looked at Cleveland scheduled before.
Yeah.
But I believe that, like, after the Patriots, there's really
Yeah,
not
Miami,
much.
Cincinnati, Arizona, yeah.
They're next
two Cincinnati's.
They have two tough games the whole rest of the season, really. I mean, I guess, so they're home for Buffalo in a couple of weeks. That's a tough game.
Yeah, the Steelers games and Baltimore will be
home for
tough.
Baltimore. And then I guess at Pittsburgh. But they do. They have Denver, Miami, the Cardinals. The Cardinals are not playing bad, but it's just
two Bengals. Yeah, two Bengals.
The problem is, I think these other teams, like at Denver, is next week. It looks like a winnable game, but Denver looks at this and says,
Cleveland's says,
two and five. I mean, we can beat them.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. They at least do have the opportunity to not be completely awful and go 4-12 again or something, you know.
That's the same, similar to the Jets. You bury yourself and then you're not going to, like, win, like, 7 or 8 in a row. You're still going to, you know, lose a couple of games that look winnable, so it's tough.
Most likely. Real letdown for the Jets in this Pats game. There was a lot of, you know, and I think we said we thought the Jets may be able to keep it close, and they had been playing pretty well. That was a nice win they got over the Cowboys. But apparently that win over the Cowboys kind of hurt them a little bit in this game, because the Pats came out, like, you know, 110 miles an hour and just put the foot on the throat just immediately.
Yeah, they didn't take them for granted.
Exactly.
It may have hurt them. But in the long term for the Jets, and especially for Darnold, you look at it and you say, hey, that's going to be the worst game I ever play in my career. So you can only go up from there.
I didn't like that Gase left him in as long. I mean, he left him in the whole game. And, I mean, it was just real, real bad there for the whole second half. I mean, the guy, I mean, he was just completely shell-shocked. He was, you know, just throwing it up off his back foot. And to me, it's like, you know, once it's 28 or 24 nothing or whatever it was, and your guy, I mean, just get him out of there. But
but for them, it only counts for one loss. And even if he played great, they're probably still not going to beat the Patriots. So it's a learning experience. I remember during Eli Manning's rookie season, he had a game versus the Ravens, which was even worse than Darnold. He had like a zero rating. So, and he learned from that. So
He would only repeat that like 7 or 8 more times throughout his career, and then. No, I'm just kidding, John. I'm just kidding.
No, that's okay. It's okay. Other than you, any other fan will take a quarterback to get you 2 rings. There's not too many of those around.
So. Agreed. It's a cheap shot at Eli. I'm sorry.
Nah,
I'm still bitter. I'm bitter. What do you want from me? You know,
a lot of us deserved. Trust me, he was lousy. He did deserve a lot of the criticism, but you know, the rings kind of help.
They
kinda help ease the pain.
They do, and especially who you beat. It's it's impressive.
Unfortunately, it's been so long ago. It's becoming like History Channel now.
It's all right.
It's kind of like Cowboy fans that still that still remember the Jimmy Johnson glory days.
Not quite that bad, Jed.
Yeah, it was a rough decade overall for New York. That was the Giants championship was the one. New York championship.
Yeah, I know. It's
with all those teams,
tough to see the Yankees get knocked out. That was,
I was heartbroken. Yes,
and it's funny the Astros. So they knocked the Yankees out, and now they're kind of falling.
Yeah, that's for another podcast. Karma hits more than one team. Sure,
I will be. I'm going to be hosting the Looking Forward, Looking Back for baseball and the NBA, John. So I'm going to recruit you to do that with me, if that's okay.
That's fine. We'll talk as little about my Knicks as possible. I'm adopting the Clippers.
Hey, they look good.
Yes, Trez Harrell is my new favorite player. He's just an instant energy off the bench. He reminds me of like Rodman.
Him and Lou Williams are incredible together.
Yeah,
they're just both phenomenal. But they make each other better, which is awesome. That pick and roll that they run. I'm a big NBA guy, John. Big guy. Just signed up for the League Pass. It's kind of all I've been doing the last couple of days is watching that stuff.
Yeah, I got the free preview for the first week, so I've been checking out some stuff, sure.
All right, so some other games to look at here. How about Eagles-Bills?
Yes, definitely.
So we have Philly coming in at 3-4 off a real bad loss to the Cowboys. I mean, they got the shit kicked out of them in a game we both picked them to win. They came out.
Slow your roll.
I picked them to win. Did you pick the Cowboys? I'm sorry.
Yes, slow your roll.
I'm sorry. So in a game I picked them to win, certainly nobody thought they were going to come out and just get spanked like that. It wasn't even a contest.
Yeah.
Real ugly, real ugly. And now their season's on the line here, I would say. They're going to Buffalo, 5-1 Bills. The Bills, they just keep getting it done, John. They just keep getting it done with a, you know, not the most impressive win in the world, but they came from behind to beat the Dolphins, 31-21. Yeah, I guess it's one of two ways. I think Philly's probably a pretty trendy upset pick. And the spread, I'll tell you that, with Buffalo only being favored by 1.5, even though they're home. I'll tell you, I like Buffalo. I like Buffalo pretty big in this game. I think John Brown is the kind of guy who can toast that awful secondary. And I think the Buffalo defense is going to give Philadelphia fits. I think they're the kind of defense that can give Philly fits. And I think people picking Philly are kind of living off the past instead of what this team has shown you they are. I think they showed us last week that they are not a contender this year. I am ready to essentially cross them off my list of potential contenders. So I like the Bills by double digits.
You did the same thing last year, and then Philly made that miraculous wild card run.
Nick Foles isn't walking through that door, John.
that's who it is. And it's not even – Wentz isn't really playing that bad, but the wheels have seemed to come off. There's a lot of turmoil in Philly.
The defense Jeffries, is the problem. Because
still,
their defense has always
backbiting.
Been pretty good. And it's just they can pass on them like nobody's business.
Yeah, they always make excuses that their secondary is always banged up, but they haven't done anything to rectify the problem. I'm sure they were in on your boy Ramsey, and they came up short. The Rams pulled the trigger. They really could have used that Ramsey move. That would have revitalized that defense. But two in a row on the road, and this would be the third. They have that tough stretch with three road games in a row, and they're headed towards that third defeat. But I think they're going to go with the desperation, and they're going to pull it out. It's just a hunch, really. Based on how they're playing, you really can be too optimistic. But it's more just a hunch thing. And looking at Buffalo, man, they got booed off the field in the first half versus Miami. They were losing the fans. This sluggish starts. The first half versus that Jet game, they could have lost. Even the Giant game, the Giants were hanging around a while. So Buffalo hasn't really beaten anybody. Cincinnati, Tennessee, mediocre games, and where they got off the slow starts. So it's just a hunch, but I see Philly pulling out a squeaker.
Well, we'll have to see. I mean, the Bills played the Patriots tough, right? I mean, agreed. Their schedule hasn't exactly been iron, and after this Philly game, they get back to normal with Washington coming to town the next week. So definitely a game the Bills can't afford. They can afford to lose it, but I like them. I think they're kind of. I think they're a good team this year. I think they're. I think you said it at the beginning.
Oh yeah, they definitely got a tough defense. But as far as the offense, the Allen's are 7 TDs and 7 interceptions. The offense isn't too dynamic. I think Philly's going to find some mojo and outscore them.
Yeah. We'll see what happens, John. Allen's the best. The thing Allen's best at is the deep ball, and Philly is certainly certainly pretty good at getting beat by those. But it's one of those toss-ups. I could see it. You know, if the team that everybody thought Philly was going to be shows up, or some semblance of that, they certainly could win the game. All right. What else are we looking at here, John?
I mean, it's not a confident pick.
not much. But Cardinals Saints.
No, that's. I mean, hey, I got to give the Cardinals credit.
They're 500. Yeah,
shit on Kingsbury, and especially last week they spanked the Giants. That was quite an embarrassment.
Their defense
they were
played
ready
pretty
to play.
Good in that game. Their defense had been awful all year. And yeah, let's talk about that. Do you think they? I watched that whole game. Do you think that defensive performance was more the Cardinals defense showing up, or more? Dimes taking another little bit of a step back.
Yeah, a little of both, but I think the Cardinals' defense is overlooked. You got like Suggs, Chandler Jones, and Peterson. Those are like three All Pros.
Peterson hadn't played all year. He was suspended. That was his first game back. So that really, I think, made a difference for them. With all that said, do you think they have a snowball's chance in hell in New Orleans?
No, I don't see it.
I think they might keep it close.
Nah, the Saints are a very impressive win in Chicago. Another one called by your boy.
That was a good call, John. That game probably marked the last time that I'll ever pick Mitch Trubisky to win anything. Sorry, Tim, but I don't want to pile on, but oof, was he bad? Oof.
But also, you gotta put him in position to win. And the coach, Nagy, is still kind of stubborn. He says, hey, I'll throw it 60 times if I have to. You got to at least try to run or establish a run.
Yeah,
game.
You know, they drafted David Montgomery and gave him two carries in that game. I mean, completely agree, John, that going with a pass-heavy strategy with a quarterback that can't pass is not a great move.
Yeah, and you see that in the coaches is being too stubborn, and especially we're coming into November, December, where you're going to get snow and wind and all that, and you want to continue to throw the ball 60, 70 times. That's not a good look. You got to at least try to establish a run. So, but also the Bears' defense got smoked versus backups Kamara, and of course Breeze wasn't even playing, and the Saints on a couple of those drives they just ran through their defense without Akeem Hicks. And also, after a while, you just get frustrated when your offense just goes 10, 3 and out.
Exactly.
And after a while, it's like, hey, we can only do so much.
You saw that in the Jets game, too. Like, the Jets defense played pretty good against the Patriots. But
after the fourth pick, exactly. Their spirit was kind of exactly. Gets broken.
And the, what was I going to say? The Bears did not play great, right? Big Lat Murray partied like it was 2015 in Oakland. He had a big game, but I think a lot of that is, I was safe to say I was incorrect about the Saints. I mean, they're right there with the Patriots as the best team in the NFL. I think a lot of what happened in that game was the Saints' offensive scheme. I mean, Peyton's not my favorite guy in the world, but he is a he's obviously an offensive genius, and you got to give him credit. They had a great game plan, and it's pretty impressive what they do. I mean, they really only use two guys on offense for the most part. They use whoever the running back is and Michael Thomas. And then, they take the occasional deep shot again, but you would think the teams would figure out a way to stop that, and it just hasn't happened. So kudos to the Saints. I do like them to beat Arizona. I think Arizona could be frisky in that game. I think that Kyler's mobility could hurt the Saints a little bit, but we'll see. But the Bears, the Chargers are going to Chicago, and I mean I think both of these teams are probably already cooked. But if not, I mean it's a truly a loser packs it in kind of game. Every week I expect the Chargers to come out and play decent. Every week they figure out new ways to lose at the end. So they, what an awful way to lose.
Can't even put that one on Phillip Rivers, how they snatched victory out of the jaws of defeat.
Two touchdowns. Snatched
defeat out of the jaws of victory, actually.
Two touchdowns reversed on replay, right? Two, Eckler and Gordon. And then Melvin, the holdout Gordon, fumbles and costs him the game. Unbelievable, really. Unbelievable way to lose a game. And, I mean, that's kind of been their MO this year. So I think on paper, the Chargers are a better team than the Bears. And because of that, I'm going to pick the Chargers to go into Chicago and win. I'm riding with them one more time. I think the Bears are just... I think it's like swoon town for them. I think they're pretty much done. I think that was like that bad of a loss last week.
I'll lean towards the Bears. But getting back to that Chargers, yeah, Gordon's only averaging about 2 yards a carry. That really hurts him. They're trying to force him in because Eckler, he's a great receiver too, man.
Oh, and he was very, very productive with Gordon out, and their offense has really taken a step back since Gordon came back. And you got to think, I mean, he's gone anyway at the end of the year, right? I mean, he so much has said he's gone. They've said they're not going to pay him. At what point do you, you know, why do you really care about making him happy, right? Don't you just kind of go with the guy that was doing well?
Yeah, especially you have Eckler, very talented and probably a better receiver than Gordon.
Oh, definitely a better receiver. He's a really good. I mean, he's like a James White kind of receiver. Really, really good receiver.
Yeah.
London, but, we send in. Oh, go ahead, John. I'm sorry.
Nah, I'm gonna go with the Bears defense to dominate this one and save face at home. Because otherwise, if the Bears lose two in a row at home. In games that they should win, they might as well just pack it in.
I think it's pack it in time, John.
Yeah,
pack it in. Admit defeat on that pick.
That's looking like
Mr. Trubisky's the Sam Bowie of the NFL.
Oh my God, it's looking like the Vikings and the Packers are gonna separate themselves. Yeah,
good for the Vikings too. I mean, they were really, especially Cousins, really beaten down a few weeks ago, and I mean he's. Say what you want about the guy, he's responded. I mean, he's been fantastic since he got called out by both his receivers.
Yep, and that just leaves the Bears and Detroit in the lower half of the division.
Yeah, Detroit's not bad. Detroit's not a bad team. The Bears, on the other hand, I think.
Yeah,
I think the window might have been last year, John, and the double doink.
Yeah, but I think Detroit put out a disappointing performance last week. I thought they were going to step up after, you know, crying about, well, justifiably that they got jobbed in Green Bay, but they came out at home and they let Cousins pass all over them.
Agreed. The defense didn't play good. And some of that was Cousins. I mean, the Vikings have like real weapons on that offense. I mean, it's not an easy offense to stop. I mean, I would say they probably, right, man for man, have the best skill position guys in the whole NFL, right? Because Cook's a top five back, and both of those, you know, Diggs and Thielen are both top 15 receivers. So.
Yeah, no, but also the Lions, they traded one of their captains, Diggs, starting safety.
Yeah, and he was pissed off about it, too.
Yeah, a guy that actually wanted to stay in Detroit, and then they wound up trading him anyway, so... They might be looking to rebuild. They'll probably have a get right game versus the old Giants this week. But after that, I don't see them contending too much.
No, I agree. I mean, I think they're probably like an 8-8 kind of team. In Fatricia, we trust, as they say.
Yeah, his defense let him down last week. It was sad.
So not a whole lot going on this week, John. But I guess we could talk about the London game. We're sending over our best and brightest over there, the Bengals. So the Bengals against the Rams.
Oh, come on.
it's a Rams win. Moving on.
It's good. It's good. It's a 1 o'clock London game where as little people as possible will see it.
It's a bad game. It's a bad
but that,
game.
That was a nice break because the Rams were reeling, losing 3 in a row at 3-3. And they got a nice Falcons, Bengals break in the schedule. Yeah, that kind of – and plus – they helped him. You saw who was swarming all over the field, Jalen Ramsey. Man, his back did not look too injured last week versus the Falcons. He was all over the place.
Oh, yeah, no. I mean, obviously, we all know what
his
was going on there.
His back made a miraculous recovery. Who's that doctor that worked on his back? I got to get his number.
Dr. Benjamin Franklin, maybe?
I see what you did there. Yeah,
you got it. You got it. But yeah, you know, I thought he was okay. I mean, he didn't play great, but I mean, Julio's a tough cover in general. So
nah, he made some plays. Sure.
I mean, he's a good player. It was good to see. I mean, Marcus Peters really
for the Ravens.
Well.
That was a great pickup too for them. So, but both those teams Ramsey put a little spark in the Rams and Marcus Peters in the Ravens. But yeah, I just don't like how Ramsey, he couldn't even wait till his initial contract. I understand after your few years, when you're a free agent, you could go where you want. And but he already tried. He tried to strong on them during his first few years of his rookie contract. He's trying to pull like an NBA move.
It's the Anthony Davis model, right there.
You can't even wait till your contract comes up, and it was sad because you know the ownership of the Jaguars, they were trying to work with them.
Agreed. So John, let's. I want to just bang through real quick because these games are not great. Seattle at Atlanta.
Oof.
Seahawks, obviously, right? Atlanta's a dumpster fire.
Atlanta, Quinn, defensive coach, has taken over the defense. Atlanta hasn't had a sack, I think, since like September. They haven't touched the quarterback. That tells you all that's going on in Atlanta.
They're done. Tampa at Tennessee is a piss break game, so we don't even need to talk about
it. It could have been the battle of the top two quarterbacks. Yeah.
Unfortunately, one of them got benched. Tannehill actually looked good. So
This is a typical game where the Titans are favored, and they're probably going to lose. Whenever you think the Titans are going to win, they let you down.
I like the Titans in this one, so they'll probably let me down because of Tannehill. As sad as that is, I think it really. I mean, we'll talk about it for a second. It really shows like how little progress Mariota's made, because I've always been unimpressed with Tannehill. I thought he was I thought he was bad in Miami.
Yep.
When the Tennessee signed him, I said, "Oh, perfect guy to have behind Mariota because it's a guy who won't press him." But I mean, he really like watching them, he made that offense better, like significantly better than with Mariota at the helm. And I think that's all you need to know about Marcus Mariota. I don't know; he'll never get another starting gig in the league, is my opinion.
But still, that game shouldn't have came down to that play. Tannehill threw an awful pick that kept that put the Chargers in it.
Well, he's Ryan Tannehill. Exactly, Chad. But I mean,
he'll still let you down.
You know, they took Corey Davis fifth overall a couple years ago, and Mariota has turned him into, I mean, just like you don't even know the guys on the field. And yeah, Tannehill got him the ball. AJ Brown looks like he's got some talent. Tannehill got him the ball. At least he can throw. I mean, don't always know where it's going, but at least he can throw. But yeah, so not a great game. Denver at Indianapolis. We can talk a little bit about, like, I think we'll both pick Indianapolis here, but we can talk a little bit about them.
Especially the Colts. They got a Darius Leonard back. You see that? Just put a charge into that defense.
We were both on the Colts over the Texans. We both liked that, and we kind of went exactly what we thought, how we thought. Let's talk a little about Jacoby. I mean, they really haven't missed too much of a beat without Luck. I mean, he was fantastic in this game, and you know, I mean, he may be, you know, he's a big favorite of your guy, the Tuna, the Big Tuna. Did you know that?
Nah.
Yeah, look it up. Jacoby is, Parcells has like a close, has like been very close to him since he came out of high school, I believe. And as someone who really believes in him. And, you know, the Tuna can evaluate the talent, right, John? We know that. And
yeah.
This kid, I mean, not a huge drop off. Not a huge drop off from Luck. Nah. And they're a real team. They're a real legitimate team. They're one of about six or seven teams that I think could actually it's not out of the realm of possibility that they win the Super Bowl. I don't think. Balanced team.
Even in their losses, they gave up over 30 points. So it was more on the defense because Leonard and guys like Hooker were out. But their defense is getting healthy and. Yeah, I look for them. I'm going to have to revise my 8-8 Tennessee pick. I think the Colts are going to start running away in this one.
Yeah, I agree. And they get a, you know, what is this, almost a bye week this week with Mr. Flacco coming to town.
Awful.
Jets at Jaguars, piss break game. I got really nothing to say about that.
I look for the Jets to bounce back. they played the worst game possible. Everything went wrong, and all the nonsense with the ghost. They're going to put all that behind them, and they're probably going to pull one out.
Defense, we'll see. It's in Jacksonville. Minshew hasn't been quite as good the last couple of weeks, but
not much of a home advantage. The Jets are going to start. They're going to pull this one out, and they're going to start racking up some wins with that easy schedule.
I like Minshew to win this game. All right, oh, and lastly, I guess we could have talked about this sooner. I'm just so used to the Raiders being terrible. Oakland at Houston. So, crossroads game for each team, right? They each pretty badly need a win here. How do you see this one going, John?
Although it turned into a blowout when Rodgers went wild for a while, the Raiders were in that game the first half. And,
the car fumble.
And then he had also had a pick in the end zone, so that would have made the game a lot closer. But
the Raiders' offense, other than those turnovers, played very good in that game.
Yeah, but their defense is starting to show their holes. But the Texans too, their defense has been kind of soft too with all that talent they got. But I'll go with the Texans on this. The Texans have kind of been win-loss mode, and they'll bounce back.
I agree with Texans. They're home. I mean, I think this is the kind of game where you go with the home team. It wouldn't surprise me. I'm just going to say this: if the Raiders came out and won this game, I think that it's really within. I think it's not likely, but very possible. The way the Texans, you just never know what team's going to show up. Like, anyone who would ever put a dollar on the Texans has got something wrong with them, because you might as well flip a coin, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's what we say about that whole AFC South. Except for the Colts are kind of changing. They're looking like they're changing the narrative on that division. But just about any team in that division is. You never know. Agreed. But the Raiders, a tough stretch of game with Indy, Chicago, Green Bay, and at Houston. And if you would have told them before those four games that they'd go 2-2, they would have taken that. They already got that too. They whipped up on Indy and Chicago, both impressive wins. So.
Silver and black, baby.
Hey, pretty much towards the 8-8, like yours truly called at the beginning of the year.
Yes.
Not the not the 1-15 or whatever that my host predicted.
Hey, you know, you hit some, you lose some. It is what it is. You got to be willing to, nobody ever hit a home run with the bat on their shoulder. Am I right, Sean?
It
applies
yes.
to all aspects of life. You got to be willing to swing and miss.
I do plenty of that, sure.
All right, John. So before we go, I wanted to talk about all the other stuff we have going on here at Place to Be Nation. You good with that?
Oh, yes, sir.
All right. So first off, check out our weekly shows here over on the PTBN Pop feed, where you can find our show as well. Hard Traveling Fanboys continue their annual Walking Dead month with guest Jennifer Smith as they count down the worst episodes in the TV show's history. Well, that doesn't sound like it's that much fun, but to each their own, I guess. DC For You continues DC Comics' best horror offerings with a review of 2019's Swamp Thing pilot. Siblings Kevin and Mary host the Brother-Sister Rewatch podcast. On episode 21, they bring you The Office, season 3, episodes 13 and 14. As we are in October, Scott continues his look at the classic Universal monsters in the latest edition of Pop Goes the Classics with 1941's The Wolfman. Pop Goes the Movies looks at the long-awaited sequel, Zombieland Double Tap. Join Andy and Jenny as they discuss the latest major movie release. I'm looking forward to that one. John, were you a Zombieland guy, the first one?
Yes, I liked it.
Very
Twinkies
good.
And Twinkies and Bill Murray. Can't
Bill fucking Murray, as Woody said in that. I thought it was really good. I'm looking forward to it. The NBA team is back, as is the NBA season, as Adam and Andrew provide a slew of team previews for the upcoming, team previews for the now-started NBA regular season. Regardless, you guys should listen to that. Those guys really know their stuff. I'm talking about a subject that's near and dear to our hearts here. On the latest episode of The Great Debate, Andy welcomes Nate Milton, Peter Winson, and Matt Souza to discuss a variety of topics in sports and pop culture. Now, that's an all-star lineup. Am I right, John?
Oh, Fantastic Four, sure. Okay.
On our newest show, Diamond Conversations, the premiere episode features the an interview with the 2006 first-round pick of the San Diego Padres, Matt Antonelli. And in a special holiday-ish edition of Laugh-In Theater, Andy hosts Jenny and Mirandia to live watch It's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown. The greatest sitcom of all time tournament is starting soon. Make sure to like our tournament page so you won't miss a single matchup. And I have some hot-off-the-presses big news. Based on our conversation in the last this week in the NFL, I did some lobbying up to the powers that be, and the one and only Sledgehammer is going to make an appearance.
Yes, vote for it. Yes.
Vote for it. We want it going all the way, baby.
Trust me, I know what I'm doing.
And a shout out to Cowboy Senior, who I saw over the weekend, and he listened to our show, and he mentioned to me that he used to watch Sledgehammer with me, and we used to just fall over laughing, the two of us. I was a little guy then, and when he said it, it brought it back that yes, he was in on that as well. So he's another Sledgehammer guy. So we're building a little club of folks that like Sledgehammer. Am I right, Sean?
Yes, David Rushy.
We might be able to get him on. What do you think?
I doubt he's booked. It might be available.
That's what I'm thinking. Check out a brand new podcast feed brought to you by our very own Jennifer Smith. The Jenny Position can be found on Podbean, iTunes, and your favorite podcatcher app. It will be the new home of Geek and Sassy, Talk and Pop, Freak Out Drive-In, and lots of fun new content. For the month of October, Place to Be Nation is holding our first annual Halloween Movie Challenge. We're giving you suggestions on what movies you should watch leading up to All Hallows Eve. And when you do, go on social media and let us know by using the hashtag PTBN Halloween Movie Challenge. But don't stop there. Every time you watch a scary or silly horror movie or special, let us know and we'll add it to our list. Over on the PTBN Wrestling feed, we have the Place to Be podcast. On the most recent edition, JT Scott and guest Todd Weber kick off a whole new decade of pay-per-views with Royal Rumble 1990. On the latest PTBN Extreme three-way dance, JT, John D'Amato, and Jenny continue their ECW adventure with three episodes of ECW Hardcore TV for May 1994. On main event number 135, Scott, Nate, and Steve welcome Jordan Duncan to talk about the past 2 weeks of programming, including AEW, NXT, and SmackDown. Row one, seat one, number 26, Ben hosts actor John Keating for an in-depth interview about his wrestling fandom, career, and life in Los Angeles. The latest episode of Talkin' WCW has Jenny, Tim, and Greg discussing the man called Sting as they delve into the three distinct eras of the icon's illustrious WCW career. Don't forget to check out placetobenation.com each and every day. We have new voices and fresh takes, bringing you articles on topics in the worlds of wrestling, sports, and pop culture. But don't forget about veteran columns, like every Wednesday, we've got the most interesting and unexpectedly funny stories on the World Wide Web in Glenn's Weekly Walk. For college football fans, Scott Griscolo and Logan Crossland have their weekly Campus Hot Takes, looking back at the previous week and looking ahead to the biggest matchups. Catch their weekly column every Wednesday afternoon. And if you're doing online shopping over at Amazon.com, be sure to click on the Amazon banner on the right side of the PTBN homepage or use www.placetobenation.com/Amazon. And it takes you right to Amazon and helps out PTBN with no cost to you. Check out our social media pages and message board at www.bigelow34.proboards.com for information on joining our GWWE pay-per-view and TV match ever project. Get in on the conversation today and start researching your list. So, a lot of great stuff going on here at Place to Be Nation. A lot of great stuff going on in the world of sports. John, as always, it's a pleasure. I'll be talking to you on Sunday. Listeners, as always, reach out to John and I. We'll have you on the show. We'll answer your questions. We love to engage about football. We also know basketball. And John is a little better at baseball than me, but I can hold a conversation. So, whatever you guys need, we're here for you. We appreciate you listening, and we really hope you enjoy Week 8. Any final words, John?
No, sir. Enjoy your piss break.
Enjoy your piss break. And for that, I'm the Cowboy, and we are out.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. The Place to Be Nation wrestling feed. We dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content. Offer tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all these great shows, plus archives of our past podcasts from over the past 8 years as well, by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while you're there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available on PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth search projects, and much more. Be sure to support our site by using www.PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping. We want to thank our friends at Boneheads, Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com as well. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture.